local issues, community information, and lots of opinions. Time now for John Bozica.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
Well, a good Wednesday morning to you, friends. John Bozica, WHBC, along with you today. Excited to talk with you today. I have a topic today where I'm going to take a break from COVID. I'm not going to mention the president today. I want to talk about a debate that has been going on here in Stark County and the surrounding areas for years now. And that is the public versus private school debate within high school sports. Now, there are a number of ways that we could approach this, and I've thought about all of them, but I think it's best to probably just highlight some of what has happened here in Ohio in particular. And I also think it's best to get two people that have really strong views on one side or the other. So, we are going to hear from a number of people today. We have a number of voices that are going to be planned to come into the show, whether it's pre-recorded stuff or whether it's actual guests that are coming onto the show at some point. But we have two people that are going to join as guests. At 10:15, coming up in just a few minutes, Joe Palmisano, former Malone University football coach, retired WHBC show host and color commentator. He's going to share his thoughts on this. And the reason why I chose Joe is because I know that Joe has really strong opinions on it. You know, he went to Hoban in high school. He played at a parochial school. He played at a private school. Who else could have a stronger opinion about it than someone who played in it and who lived it? And obviously, he has a very, he has an opinion to one side of the argument on this. I'll leave it at that. But I think you'll be interested to hear some of the things that he's going to say. Then at 10:35, Larry Kakura, the head boys basketball coach at Alliance. To say that Larry has been through it, going against parochial and private schools, would be putting it lightly. He had years at Alliance in the last 15 years where he had some of the best basketball teams that Alliance has ever seen. Teams that were going undefeated, running teams out of the gym, just dominating games. But who did they have to run into every time in the tournament but Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary? Team that LeBron built way back in the day. The program that, you know, had always been good. Don't get me wrong. St. V has always been successful in athletics. You go back to the years of Sistone, John Sistone being their head football coach, and they won state championships in, on the football field many a time, and they also played in state basketball championships and won some of those many a time as well. However, that program changed when you had a generational type basketball player go through there and put the program literally on ESPN every single night. I mean, before that, they were one of the two private schools in Akron. Since then, the joke around Akron is that they're the Akron St. Vincent St. Mary fighting LeBrons, or they're, you know, because LeBron has, you know, they've become a part of his fabric and a part of his life. You know, he's donated money to create uniforms for them. He's donated money to try to better the system that happens at St. V. So it has his name and his likeness all over it. And you can't tell me that that doesn't drive kids to want to go there. Of course it does. You mean to tell me that if you have the opportunity to go to your public school on the east side of Akron, or you can go play at the school that you can be a star at and potentially meet LeBron James, that you're going to go play at Akron East opposed to Akron St. Vincent St. Mary, especially if you're given the opportunity with like help with money? It's a big difference there. It is. And Coach Kakura is going to join us to kind of illuminate some of the things that he went through over the time that he faced them at Alliance on the basketball court. Plus, I have sound from Marcus Watley, the head football coach at Canton McKinley, previously the head football coach at Akron St. Vincent St. Mary, so he's been on both sides of the coin. Paul Wackerly, the head girls coach at Glen Oak. Previously, he was a head girls coach at St. Thomas Aquinas. He also went to St. Thomas Aquinas, so he's been on both sides of the argument. AJ Sarbaugh, who really, when it comes down to it, his time at Fairless and a North Canton Hoover kid, he really knows the public side of the argument probably, but didn't change his opinion on things. And I thought it was interesting, some of the things that he told me. And then David Held, also talked to him, former mayor of North Canton. And the reason why I talked to David is because he wrestled at Lakewood St. Ed's in high school. And he told me a story over the weekend and kind of told me some of the same stories yesterday when I talked to him about how, you know, when he was in eighth grade and he won the eighth grade championship in North Olmsted, you know, he was approached by St. Ed saying, "Hey, kid, you can wrestle pretty well. Why don't you come on down to Lakewood St. Ed's?" Obviously, North Olmsted couldn't do that. Obviously, Parma Normandy couldn't do that. Obviously, many of the public schools in the area couldn't do that. Olmsted Falls, whatever you want to call it. But St. Ed's could. So they got one of the best. And he wrestled there for 4 years and helped them achieve a lot of great things in his time. He did. So he's going to tell us about his experience as a private school kid. Plus, I think it's important today we're going to talk about some of the numbers. I think that the biggest thing that I'm going to show today, or that I'm going to try to show today, is that it's not necessarily every division that's affected by this. Like in basketball and in football, the major sports, girls basketball, boys basketball, football, pretty much baseball, softball, your major sports within high school sports, it's not affected in every division. I would say the biggest place that it's affected is in the big school divisions, meaning Division 1, 2, and probably 3 in football, and Division 1, and I think you could probably say 2 in basketball. That's where you tend to see the most of it. But the other problem becomes, let's say you have a Division 3 or Division 4 school in basketball. Let's say you have a team that's having a great year, like a small town school. I don't know. I mean, Dalton seems to come to mind around here, or like a Tuslaw or someone like that. They have a career year, which Tuslaw had a couple years ago, by the way. They made it all the way to the regional semifinal. You know who they met in the regional semifinal? Villa Angela St. Joe, who had Carlton Bragg, who went on to play at Kansas. You can't tell me you can compare the two, because I'm sorry, kids that want to go to Kansas and play basketball don't grow on trees in Lawrence Township. They just don't. All right, I've made my first case. I'm going to take a break here, and when we come back, Joe Palmisano, retired WHBC host and color commentator, former head football coach at Malone University, also spent time at the University of Akron. He's coached more football and forgotten more football than I will ever see in my life, really, I think, when it comes down to it. So he'll join us next. He'll explain his opinion on this and kind of highlight why he feels the way that he does on the private versus public school argument. Plus, you'll have time later on in the show to join in and give your opinion as well. Stay with us.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday. Local issues, community information, and lots of opinions.
Hey, a reminder, we have high school basketball tonight in a couple of different ways. Starting at 5:30, two boys teams left in the tournament at this point, both in the regional semis of the boys tournament in high school basketball. Hoover plays Medina tonight at 5:30, followed by Jackson taking on Mentor at 8 p.m. Both games at Twinsburg. Dan Belford and Denny Kincaid will have the call of both, and we'll have both games for you right here on 1480. All right, we go to the phone line now, and we continue our discussion of public versus private this morning when it comes to high school sports, particularly here in Ohio, and really you could say all around the country. I know that this is a debate that goes on. So we go to the phone line. We bring in our first guest. That is Joe Palmisano, retired WHBC show host and former Malone University head football coach. Joe, how are you this morning?
I'm well, John. How are you?
Good. Doing well. It's been a long time, man. Hope you're doing well, you, Kirby, and everyone. All right?
I'm doing wonderfully, and I hope you and Allie are, too.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. So I know that this is a debate that has been had so many times by so many different people, and I'll ask you a basic question on it, but what are your basic thoughts on this argument?
Well, I think two things have to be involved in this argument, if it is, so to speak. Does a great athlete or an outstanding student, this is the first question, have the same option within the public realm to go to different schools and to shop around and find the best school that fits his or her needs? The second question is, are parochial schools, and when we talk parochial schools, we don't just talk Catholic, we talk Christian schools, we talk Lutheran schools, whatever. Are these schools winning the majority of championships in, let's say, football, basketball, baseball? Let's just take those three. So I think those two questions have to be asked or have to be answered in order to even say, is there a debate here? Is there an argument to have here? And so I think those have to be answered.
What is your opinion? Do you think there should be a divide between the two, or do you think it should stay the way it is right now?
Well, let's go ahead and answer the questions then.
Sure.
First, in Ohio, there are only somewhere around 17% of the schools in Ohio, all throughout Ohio, this is statewide, only about 17% of the schools have non-open enrollment, no open enrollment. So that means there are most of the schools and school districts, for instance, in the Northeast area, which we're in, there are 91 school districts, 18 of them do not have open enrollment, the rest do. That means that you can transfer to a school outside of your district without paying tuition to go to another school. So if a great athlete decides that the basketball program at Jackson is better, and I'm a great basketball player, I can transfer to Jackson tuition free. And you see it with football and Maslin and so on and so forth. So I think it's important that a coach sells his program and within the community and actually out of the community, selling the program, not recruiting, selling the program. The other thing is, if I look at the championships, John, and I did some research, as obviously I always do. In football, since 1990, there have been 194 champions in football at all levels, 194. 38% of those winners have been parochial schools, 38%. Now, you would think that was an overwhelming number. But 38% in football, 36% in basketball, and 33% in baseball since 1990 have been parochial winners. That is not, to me, a reason to say we have to divide. If it were 60, 70%, I would say, yeah, it's probably unfair. But we're talking in the 30 percentiles for football, basketball, and baseball. So and the opportunity to move, those two things combined tell me that combine those two things then with the competitive balance agreement that has come into play that bumped like Hoban up to Division II from Division III, even though their enrollment really didn't increase. Those kind of things show me that there's not really a strong issue.
Last thought I had for you, because then I have to obviously get to a break here, and I appreciate you joining today. I know that you've been really on all sides of this argument before in your career because of all the different places you've coached. Do you feel that being at a parochial school has an advantage because you can kind of pluck, if you will, opposed to just your school district, or do you think it starts with the program build that a coach goes about doing?
I think it's part of the program build that the coach does. How does the coach sell? I look at Troy Davis down in Louisville right now. He took over a program that was really down. He's got now freshman year coming in, around 100 kids playing for him on his freshman and sophomore teams, the young kids. That was not happening before Troy. He has gone out and sold his program within the community. I think it's important that coaches, instead of that they sell their program and they get people to get involved. If a kid from Glen Oak wants to come to McKinley, he can. He's got that right to do it. If the program is going to develop that player into the best player that young man or young woman wants to be. So I don't think there's an advantage, John, because there's a high tuition. There's travel. There's going away from your people. Kids, young people are attracted to the place that's going to develop them the best. And that's what has to happen within any school or any school district.
Joe Palmisano, retired WHBC show host, former head football coach at Malone University. Joe, I appreciate the insight, the research, everything. I always love your opinion on this. Good to hear your voice, and let's do this again soon.
You too, John. You take care. Thanks so much.
Yep. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Joe Palmisano on WHBC. Good to have him on the air again. Good to hear him. And he made some really interesting points. I knew Joe would come in with a highlighted look at numbers like that. I knew he would. And that's why I wanted to have him on. And the numbers say to the contrary of whether or not you should split the two. What about bigger divisions, though? That's the question I'm going to answer later on in the show. Like Division I, Division II, we'll see. There's an interesting note that I'm going to give you guys later on in the show. But when we return, Larry Kakura, the head boys coach at Alliance, will join us to talk about his experiences of public versus private and how it's directly affected him. All of that when we return.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
John Bozica, 1480 WHBC, continuing our debate of private versus public high school sports. We go to the phone line, bring in our second guest of the morning, and that is Larry Kakura, the head boys coach at Alliance. Coach Kakura, how are you this morning?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. It's been a while. It's good to have you on the show, and good to talk about this with you, because I know you have very strong opinions on this topic. But you've had a number of really great teams over the years at Alliance, and there's no mistaking that. You really have. But it seems like every time you have a good team, there's a private school by the name of St. V waiting on the other side, isn't there?
Yeah, we went through a run of playing St. V a lot.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we get into those stories. What is your feeling on private versus public? Being a public school guy who's had really great teams in his time at Alliance, what's your thought on it?
Yeah, you know, I don't like it. I just don't think it's fair. I mean, we've had some of our best teams here. We went 20-0. We were 23-1. We're 23-0, actually. Go in the tournament, got to the district final, and meet up with St. V. I think we're down 15 at half. I mean, that was the best team maybe here in the past 25 years. So, and we're down 20 at half. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, I do have strong opinions against it. I think, you know, either they have to be in Division One, or they have to have their own, you know, category to play in the state championship. I just don't think it's fair to all the public school kids who work their tail off all year, come up with their, you know, their buddies from second, third, fourth, and fifth grade basketball, and then they have to meet up in that with that in a tournament. I just don't think it's right.
Well, and I was talking to Sean Green, who's now at Minerva, one of your assistants, and he said that every year that you guys went there, you had, you know, studs from Alliance who were on your team. Again, studs from Alliance might not be the same as studs from St. V. I mean, you had career teams those years. That 23-0 team, that team was ranked in the top 10, like second or third, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were second in the final poll.
Wow. And you guys lost by... I mean, that's just, you know...
We got beat up bad. I mean, it's not like we were in the game. I mean, it was pretty out of control probably at halftime. And it's just such a letdown to end the season like that. It's just not right.
Well, and I know the argument would be from a lot of people, they would say, well, just, you know, work harder, try to get better. And I guess if you heard that from someone, what would you say back to them?
I don't think a team can work any harder than that team that I had that year and a couple of the other teams that we had that played against St. V, to be very honest with you. I mean, we have to share athletes. You know, a lot of our kids play football and baseball. We get a limited time with them, and that group was special, and they worked their tail off. And I don't think they can work any harder than what they did, to be very honest with you, in a public school setting. I mean, we could have all the kids play nothing but basketball. Maybe they could have worked a little harder, put a little more time in. But I have never in 31 years of coaching asked a kid or told a kid not to play another sport. And I will never do that. So I want them playing other sports. So I don't think there was a way to work harder.
Larry Kakur is my guest, the head boys coach at Alliance. And he has been through a number of occasions where he has met St. V in the district final. Now, that wasn't the only time that you met them. You've met them, what, about four times?
You know what? I have it written down right here. Let me see. Just give me 2 seconds.
You're good.
We went three in a row there, 2011, 12, 12, 13, 13, 14. We lost to them three times in a row in the district final. Then we lost to them in a district semi, 16, 17. So, yeah, it was four, and then we lost to him in 07, 08. So that was five times in probably 8 years, 8, 9 years.
Wow.
Met up. Yeah. I know. We had St. V fatigue, man.
Yeah, so. Well, and doesn't that become part of it then? Like that no matter how you retool in the off season at Alliance, you can't retool better than them, can you?
No. They had moved it. You know, I mean, I don't know what they have now because I think it's really funny. And, you know, we're Division One now, John. And, you know, you might not know that because you haven't covered us for about 2 years. But I'm joking.
I knew that. I did know that.
Yes, we're Division One now. St. V's Division Two. Can you believe that?
St. V just play in the Division One championship a couple years ago?
You know what? They beat. Yeah, they didn't. They lost in the final, I think, Division One. Yeah. But I remember Jackson had one of their strongest teams. That might have been the year. I don't know if Jackson won it that year with the Bevick, but St. V went to Jackson the last game of the year, game 20, or I think it was 22. I forget which year it was, but they beat Jackson at Jackson the year they won the state title.
They did.
Last game of this regular season. And then I don't know if we played them that year, but they were in our tournament, Division II.
So that team at Jackson, that team had Logan Hill, who's now playing at Mount Union. It had Kyle Young, who's now playing at Ohio State. It had Kyle Nicholas, who's going to play Major League Baseball. Dylan Dingler, who's going to play Major League Baseball. Jackson had their best athletes in school history, and it still wasn't enough.
No, they won a state Division I basketball championship that year, and they got beat by St. V at home. And then St. V goes down and plays the Division II tournament. I mean, so, you know. And then here we are. we're Division I this year. I think we're eight boys over. But having said all that, you know, it is what it is. It's not going to change, John, I don't think, in any time in the near future. You just have to have one of those special years, which we almost had. I think we lost to him by five, my son JJ's senior year. We were right in the game. But that was the only game that we had a legitimate shot to beat him. Every other year, those 5 out of 9 years, we were down 15 to 20 at halftime. I mean, it was just, we were 20-2, I think we were, with DJ Hancock and Dom Fletcher senior year. We had a really nice team here at Alliance. I think we finished the year 20-2, regular season, and we were down 20 at half. I'll never forget it. Completely exhausted. Just pressing us the whole way. We had to do everything we could to get the ball to half court and just try to stay competitive and get back and guard them. And, you know, I looked in my kids' eyes at halftime, and we were just spent. And this is a 20-2 team down 20 at half. And I didn't even know what to say to them. I felt so bad for them. You know, I'd like to see a different division for all the parochials, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Coach Kukura, I appreciate your time this morning. I'll be sure to come out to Harry Fales Gymnasium next year and cover you guys, too.
All right, John. Good talking to you.
You as well. Be safe.
Yep.
There he is. Coach Kukura at Alliance. He makes an interesting argument in his case against it. They played him five times in about 15 years, and they have not beaten them once. And that one team, the last team he talked about with Dom Fletcher and DJ Hancock, Bob and I were at that game. That was a really good Alliance team. We had covered them all year, talked about how good they had gotten by the time the tournament rolled around. Then they met St. V, which St. V had like a run, you know, middle of the road type of team that year. Still went to Columbus, though. And yeah, they ran Alliance out of the gym. Is that fair to Alliance? When we come back, we're going to hear from Paul Wackerly, the head girls coach at Glen Oak, and Marcus Watley, the head football coach at McKinley. All of that when we return.
Local issues, community information, and lots of opinions. John Bozica.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday. Local issues, community information, and lots of opinions.
Okay, back to the differing perspectives on this morning. John Bozica, 1480 WHBC. Thank you for that word, by the way, JD. Perspective. It was the word I was looking for, and I couldn't think of it. I honestly couldn't. Sometimes words just don't come to you. Paul Wackerly, head girls coach at Glen Oak, a coach that I've become closer with maybe in the last couple years than just about any coach in Stark County, because covering his team so much and spending so much time around the program and just getting to know Paul as not just a coach, but as a person as well. I called him yesterday and I asked him to speak to this, and I took about 4 minutes and 20 seconds of about a 16-minute conversation that we had, and here's the pieces that I put together from it. It answers a couple of different questions. It's going to sound like we're talking over a phone the whole time, but there's really good stuff here. So here's Paul Wackerly speaking about private versus public.
They had that competitive balance thing came out a while ago, about, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years, I can't remember what it was, but it came out and they thought this was going to be, that, you know, this will help. It doesn't really help, because what it did, it just took the schools that are smaller and put them in the division above them. But if you're a school like an Akron Hovind, which is a Division II school, by the way, and you got so many athletes transferred in, they moved up to Division I because the competitive balance put them in Division I. So what happens is the Division I people deal with it, because there's nothing outside of Division I. So everything gets pushed up to Division I. So I remember when that came out, I think to myself, I'm a Division I school. Why would I want more private schools pushed to me? Because they have recruits. That's all I did, because there's a ceiling to it. I mean, my main thing, I remember talking about this, I said, my main thing was, okay, now, what's that help Division I? It doesn't help. There's no getting out of that.
Yeah, because they'll automatically end up in your division.
Right. So we have more up there now. I mean, you know, you get Hope and girls add to it now. Now, Hope and boys, I think they're Division II still. I'm not sure.
No, they're D1. They're D1.
All right, they have enough boys to be D1. Oh, yeah, because of football. That's why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have all the kids in football. So the enrollment on the boys' side is a lot higher, I think. But I know in volleyball, they're D2.
So do you think, I guess here's the question. Do you think then that it should be separated based on, not just private public, but there should almost be another distinction. Cause Central and St. Thomas aren't the same as Hoban and St. B.
They can't, they struggle. To come there through vouchers, the thing about it is one thing about the biggest disadvantage is, let's say a girl wanted to come to my program because they're serious about basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
For their family to be able to do that, and they're already in high school, right? For their family to be able to do that, John, they'd have to pick up and move. They literally have to move. How many people want to sell their house and move because I want my daughter playing girls basketball? I mean, there's some people out there like that, but is that something we should be doing?
No.
A sport should be affecting that decision of a family when it comes to that. And that's how I look at it. At least that's me. So what's happening with the whole thing, though, on this is that if you want to go to Akron Hoban, right, and you live in Lake like the Stevens girl, just go ahead. There's no commitment to the family or sacrifice at all. You can leave an average program and go play for a little girl and have a chance to go do something. Well, yeah, that's easy. That's not really that. I don't really call that a bad family decision. Because you're not really picking your house up or doing anything. You just take your shelter. And to boot, most of those kids are going for free. They have scholarships somehow.
Yeah.
So the commitment to a family to go to Hoban for $7,000, $8,000 a year, that's a commitment. It's out of pocket, right?
It is.
But to go free to a whole other system, and then your daughter has a chance to maybe go to state. Well, yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah. Could there be a division then that has St. V, Hoban, Ignatius, Eds, all of those big schools in it, and then everyone else plays in a separate division, a super division? Do you think that would make it fair?
Well, I don't think that you can separate. I think if you're going to make private schools private, you got to go private school, all private school.
You can't just separate certain ones.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to separate it like that. I just don't think it'll work.
Okay.
I just don't think it would hold up.
Because you'd still probably run into some of the same problems.
Well, yeah, because you're discriminating too. I mean, you can't say this one, not that one. I mean, you can't really discriminate that. And then they're saying, well, wait a minute. They can go by the same rules, but they just don't have the same thing happen. Maybe their coaches aren't doing it as strong as what some coaches do either, which is very true out there. But at the same time, though, if you did a private school or a public school type thing, you'd have to do that setting altogether. I mean, it you couldn't do it any other way.
Interesting stuff. Because he makes some great points about paying for it, going to different schools, how it would work, how it separates. Just, there's a lot to, I hate to use the term, but there's a lot to unpack with that. There is. Then here's Coach Watley over at McKinley, head football coach. Again, he coached at St. V. Now he coaches at McKinley.
You've coached in both. You've been in both. Do you think there should be a separation between the two?
I think if you separate, they'll always be wondering what the public team that won that one, won the other one. I think there's advantages in so many places. I mean, there's advantages to schools that have districts with a lot of money versus districts that don't. There's advantages to the big D1s and the small D1s, the big D2s and the small D2s. You can go all the way down. So, I mean, there's always advantages throughout it. You know, the private schools are allowed to pluck and pick kids and families that want to go there. And I just don't know if there's a happy medium in there. I mean, they tried to do
competitive balance.
The competitive balance thing. And I don't know. I mean, for me, there's an advantage. There's advantages. I mean, is there an advantage of being a private school that can pull kids from a complete, anywhere in the state of Ohio? Yeah. Is there an advantage of being an open enrollment school? Yeah. I mean, is there an advantage of being a school away from private schools? Yeah. I mean, it's advantages everywhere, and I just don't think there's going to be a happy medium from it. And, you're going to have to see one. And I remember hearing the mentor coach talking years ago, says, if you want to beat them, play them. And that's just kind of what comes down to, is that they're not going anywhere. I don't see how this can really have a perfect thing without people either questioning who's the real state champion or not. I mean, like, could the public D1 team beat the private D1 team? It's always going to be a question if you do it that way. You know what I mean? And I just think for everything that's out there, I know there's, you know, there's some beasts of private school, there's some beasts of public school that have drastically better advantages just because based on the community and the numbers that they have in the program. So it doesn't really, I don't know how you can fix that. I don't know. I think they're trying. I think they've made some moves and things, but I don't know how you fix it.
So that's Coach Whatley from Canton McKinley. Last thing I want to play here is Coach AJ Sarbaugh at Fairless. This is just about 30 seconds. Basic question.
Do you think there should be a separation between public and private? And if so, why?
No, I don't think so.
Why do you feel that way?
Because I think if you want to win a district or a regional or a state championship, you would want to go against the best of the best. And that's against players and coaches. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't, to someone that's a competitor for my kids, I wouldn't want two different state championships.
There are schools and states that have that. The one state that comes to mind in particular after doing some research last night that has separate state champions is Texas. In Texas, they actually have two governing bodies. I actually talked to a guy that I know that does play-by-play down in Texas, and he said there are two governing bodies, and there are basically separate state championships. There are tons of state champions crowned every year, but there is the University Interscholastic League, which is made up of almost all public schools in Texas, and then there's the Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools, and they separate them. And there's tons of state champions crowned every single year. I asked my friend Michael, who lives in Texas, is there any controversy over it? He said, no, not really. We'll be right back.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
Local issues, community information, and lots of opinions. Time now for John Bozica.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
Hour number two this morning, talking public versus private when it comes to high schools playing sports. Last soundbite I wanted to play, David Held, former mayor of North Canton, currently our Saturday morning show host from 9 to 11 every Saturday here on WHBC. He has another perspective on this because he wrestled at St. Ed's back in the day. Here's some of what David said yesterday to me.
Okay, so when we're looking at the advantages that a parochial or a Catholic school might have or a private school, one of the advantages is that people would say that they have more financial resources. But now with the cost of that private education, back in the 1980s, it was like $600 for an entire year. Now it can be upwards to $15,000 a year for a student. So that can be restrictive as far as trying to get student athletes to go to the school.
Okay. But you do feel there's an advantage, though, right?
Well, I'll say this. When we talk about an advantage, I would say historically, yes, there's been an advantage that the private schools have because they could draw athletes from a larger region, and the public schools typically, historically, have been restricted to the geographic region of their school district. But now, with open enrollment, certain schools have selected to provide open enrollment, and others have not. And so with those schools that have open enrollment, now they have the same advantage that a private school would have, and it would even be more of an advantage because there's no cost for tuition.
Well, and you made an interesting comment to me on Saturday. You said that even regardless of whether you're public or private, you think the mindset of the team has to be correct to win, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like if you listen to an interview, there's an interview, if you plug in John Heffernan and St. Ed's Wrestling, he's the head coach, and they have an interview with him on there. It was just recently, and he's saying, hey, what's the difference? You know, and here's a guy who wrestled for St. Ed's, then went up to the University of Iowa, was a two-time All-American. So he's an incredible technician, right? And he's saying, and the guy asked him, well, do you think it's technique? And he goes, no, I don't think it's technique. I think it's toughness, right? And, but it's like if you're going to overcome somebody who's stronger than you, bigger than you, faster than you, you got to have a competitive edge somewhere. You know, is it toughness? Is it refined technique? Is it, you know what I mean? So you could look at a lot of different, you could look at it in a lot of different ways. And sometimes, depending on the coach, if you're a great technician, you're saying, it's not technique. Well, it's not technique because you have all the technique and you're a great technician and you know what I mean? So I think the perception of what is needed could vary depending on the resources of that coach that you're talking to, right? But one thing is for sure, without a doubt, if you look at a particular sport, right, it also depends on the sport. If you're going to do golf, golf is much different than running 100 meters, right? 100 meters, you basically, you know, watch your diet. But it's really a very simple demand placed on the athlete. You run from point A to point B as fast as you can. And, you know, you can introduce new technique and, you know, mindset and attitude and all that other stuff, and you'll make incremental changes, right? But the more that the sport requires as far as, you know, athletic ability, you know, experience, knowledge, you know, like let's say if you have wrestling, that's a lot different because you can't just be the biggest and strongest. Now you got to have technique. Now you have to have strategy, you know, so there's more involved. There's more to it than just being you not only have to have the attitude, but you have to have an aptitude.
So David Held there, former mayor of North Canton, also now our show host Saturday morning on WHBC. Here's the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to open the floor to you guys on this on private versus public. Since 2013 in football, these are according to my numbers that I put together last night, in divisions 1 through 3, 17 of the 24 state champions that have been crowned since 2013 are private schools. So in divisions 1 through 3, 17 of 24 since 2013 are private schools. Since 1988, that's the first year St. Ignatius won like their run of state titles under Chuck Kyle, still the coach there, by the way. Since 1988, 23 of 32 Division I champions in that time have been private schools. Which again goes back to the argument that competitive balance may have started to put things in like an interesting direction with like adjusting the numbers and how you determine who's in what division. But Coach Wackerly made the point. What it ends up doing is it ends up pushing you up a division or pushing someone else into your division. So now Glen Oak this year in girls basketball, they dealt with Hoban in girls basketball, a team that had 10 transfers. There is nothing Glen Oak can do to combat that in the offseason. Coach Wackerly can't just go to the local, you know, playgrounds and see 20 kids playing out there and say, hey, all of you that play at Marlington, you guys would look great in green and gold this year. You know what would happen if that happened? The OHSA would be down on him in a second for sanctions. So the comparison, it just really doesn't exist. Now, that being said, you know, smaller divisions, it's different. But let's say you have a scenario like what I was saying earlier. Villa Angela St. Joe in boys basketball has dominated Division III for like the last 15 years. And the reason why is because they're a Division III school getting kids going to play at Kansas and Kentucky, going against teams like Fairless and Tuslaw. Of course, Fairless and Tuslaw can't combat with that. Tuslaw had a team a couple years ago that went undefeated, as I said, in the regular season. And they still lost in the tournament. They did lose to a local parochial. It was St. Thomas Aquinas, but still, they lost to a parochial school. Year before that, they made it to a regional semifinal. They got run off the court by Villa Angela St. Joe. They had a nice postseason run, and then They met VASJ, and it was you know, like they weren't even playing in the same gym at that point. It was like two different types of basketball were being played. And, you know, I mean, you can argue what you want to. Look at girls basketball Division I recently. Cincinnati, Mount Notre Dame. They can pull from Kentucky. They can pull from Indiana. They can pull from the surrounding areas of Cincinnati. They had like a kid on their team a couple years ago when Glenn Oak went down there, KK Bransford. She's still playing for them now. When she was a freshman, she looked like a senior because she had gone through the best programs. She had been through the best of everything. The year that Glenn Oak went down there, their starting guard at Mount Notre Dame was going to Cincinnati to play college ball. Their other starting guard was going to Iowa to play college basketball. And their starting center was going to Loyola of Chicago to play college basketball. It didn't matter what was coming off of Coach Rogers' bench. Dr. Scott Rogers at Cincinnati Mount Notre Dame, he had the other team beat down there no matter who it was, basically before the game even started. And I've seen them play and not play well and still beat teams by 20. So how do you find that happy medium? That's the question. That's the ultimate question. Because there are some divisions, and we see it in divisions 5, 6, and 7 in football, where you have the small schools like the MAC that are out in the west part of the state that are all public schools. And they dominate. They do. They win championships every single year. They get there every single year. But they're not the part of the case study that's important. The part of the case study that's important is how are the teams at the top doing? Because a team like St. Ed's that can draw from all different parts of Cleveland is different than, let's say, St. Thomas Aquinas or Central. Because even though Central can draw from all parts of Canton, really when it comes down to it, if you talk to Coach Lindesmith, he would tell you the kids that play on his team mostly come from the Maslin area. They just do. They grow up in that area and they go there. Maybe some kids come in from Jackson, but that's considered the Maslin area. It is. It's Western Starr County. You're not getting kids coming in from Trumbull County to play quarterback for your team. It's just not working that way. So what do you do? Public versus private. How do you feel we handle this? Do we need to separate it? Or should we keep it as it is? Are you saying that the numbers that Joe gave us earlier, Joe Palmisano saying that, I have the numbers written down here because I was listening closely to him. He said since 1990, 38% of the state football champions have been parochial and 36% basketball. Are you saying, well, that's enough of a case study for me? I don't need to hear anything else. Or do you feel that because it is affecting bigger schools in a much like higher manner, that something should be done? Because basically what that means, what I'm telling you is that since 1988 in high school football in Division I, unless your name is like St. Ignatius, Cincinnati Elder, or St. Xavier, McKinley won a couple in there, but I mean, I'll say this to the McKinley fans, and I say this meaning the most respect possible. The reason why McKinley won those two state championships is because they had the best athletes they've had go through that door in a really long time. They had Mike Doss, went on to play in the NFL. Kenny Peterson went on to play in the NFL. A ton of the other kids on that team went on to play at high-level college football. You can't do it if you don't have like a star or a stud at every position. And for a public school, that doesn't happen every year. All right. We'll take your calls when we return. 330-450-1480. We'll be right back.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday. Local issues, community information, and lots of opinions.
All right, I posed the question on Facebook earlier of do you think that public and private schools should have separate state championships in Ohio? This was on the 1480 WHBC Facebook page. Received a number of responses, too. We're up to 30-some responses now from people that have weighed in. Brenda said, yes, of course they should. That's the way it should have been always. No brainer. Bob says private schools make up less than 10% of total schools, but win a disproportionate amount of titles, especially in wrestling, swimming, and ladies basketball. Says, two, the OHSA keeps tweaking the enrollments with competitive balance for the football divisions, bumping up private schools into the top three divisions, which is, you know, admitting that there is a problem that exists. Sam is in Canton on line one. Sam, how are you?
Good, John. John, I listen to you every day, and I know you and I are usually on opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of our philosophies, but on this, I think I agree with you. One of the things that I don't believe has been mentioned, and I haven't gotten to listen to the whole telecast today, but, you know, the schools in question have a lot invested in bringing these kids up. From the time they're first and second graders, and they have them in, we used to call them the peewee leagues or midget leagues or what have you, or intramurals, and then bringing them up, you know, through, a hot stove in baseball or what have you, or, in Louisville for their football, they call them little leopards and so on like that. They develop these kids, they coach them up, they shape them. Okay, and they teach and prepare them, okay, to go on to bigger and better things. And then so by the time they get, you know, to their high school years, these kids in many cases have a fairly well-developed base of fundamentals. They've been taught. They've been sent to camp by the schools and by the communities. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, you know, you've got a lot of talent and you have a better chance to get a big-time scholarship and to play for a big-time school if you come and play for, Hoban or Villa Angela St. Joseph or Akron St. Vincent St. Mary. And basically what these guys are doing is they're just basically going out and cultivating all-star teams. That's all they're doing. And, at the end of the day, no matter what you say, it distorts the competitive balance. And it just, it just is fundamentally not fair.
Well, and Sam, I'll say this out loud on air. I mean, because I know that it's well-known knowledge, but Hoban's quarterback this past year, he's a kid that came in from out of county. He was not an Akron kid. He came in from a county some 40 minutes away. Their wide receiver, Braden Fox, we all know him because he played at Glen Oak. Well, guess what? He's a Glen Oak kid. He just is. And I hate to call that out like that because it's not right, but, you know, it is what it is. And you mean to tell me that Glen Oak can just go and find another Rutgers commit to play at wide receiver for them? Of course they can. That doesn't happen at Glen Oak.
Well, that's right. And, you know, in the case of Hoban here, you know, their whole team, for all intents and purposes, was a new team. And, I mean, again, it's just an all-star team that they've recruited. And, you know, I hearken back to the 80s, and you're probably too young to remember the early 1980s and 70s when Moeller had their great teams.
I do remember.
And they were recruiting from two, three states.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing kids in. And at some point, you know, you understand, John, that life fundamentally in so many cases is unfair. But at this juncture, and I talked to Kenny Rhoda about this the other day, you know, he's for, and I think you've mentioned this earlier, you know, having a parochial championship in these sports and then a public schools championship. And then if the two want to meet, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, if you want to recruit an all-star team, no one's going to ever beat you. That's just the way it is. So I appreciate your taking my call.
Yeah, have a good one, Sam. Take Maslin, for example, the past 2 years in football, past 3 years in football. Let's go that far. They had Aiden Longwell in that time at quarterback, all-time leading passer, all-time leading, you know, touchdown. You know, he had the record for touchdown passes, had the record for just about every major passing record. Also in the past 3 years, Jameer Thomas, every major rushing record at Maslin. Jaden Ballard, one of the best wide receivers to go through the school in a long time, going to Ohio State. Andrew Wilson-Lamp, one of the other better wide receivers to go through the school in a long time. Also a great defensive back going to West Virginia. It still was not enough to beat LaSalle or to beat Hoban. And this past year, again, of the three teams that made it for Maslin, this past year's team was probably like considered the least ready to play in a game like that because they had some faults at spots. But the bottom line is, if you have that much talent going through the door over a course of 3 years and you're a public school like Maslin, you should be able to win a title at least one time. Again, not saying it. Not saying that we should like just hand out titles and create it like it's a participation type thing. But where does the fairness come in? Because at a certain point, there's nothing more a public school can do other than breaking the rules. And is that where we want it to go? 330-450-1480. We'll be right back.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
Public versus private. High school sports. How do you feel about it? You feel there should be a separation between the two? Continuing some of the comments on Facebook that we've received on this, wanted to read the end of something that Bob was saying here. He said, no student athletes should be paid to play at any school. Who is checking in on athletic scholarships? If a student wants to play or wants a Catholic education, they should attend the nearest school and receive tuition assistance. But if they're bypassing four nearby schools to play at a fifth, there should be no tuition assistance for the kid. I don't know. I guess the question is, how do you feel about this? How do you feel it should be done? Bob said, ask Perry and Maslin if there is a solution or a happy medium. It's a great point because for so many years, that's been, you know, a big issue. I think that what it really comes down to is you're not going to ever make everyone happy. We know that. It's true. But there needs to be something done to level certain playing fields. As I said, Central Catholic in football and in other sports here in Stark County, they went to three state football state championships. Back about, what would that have been, 4 years ago? I think it was 14, 15, and 16. They went to back to back to back. They only won one of them. Lost to a public school two of the three times. They did. It's a great public school, though. Coldwater, that plays in the MAC out west of here. But the deal is that now since then, since that 2016 year, they really haven't had a run yet. It's been a number of years now for them. And that was kind of the way it was before then. Coach Kleinfelter was there for, 40 years. He won a state championship in 1988, won another one in 2000. The years in between, they made the playoffs here and there, and they had a run here or there, but they never won more than just the two. I think they're different. Because, again, if you talk to the people that go to Central Catholic, associate with Central Catholic, they'll tell you that it's not the same way. Like, Coach Lindesmith doesn't go up to Summit County and be like, hey, come on down to Stark County. Like, he plays with the kids that come through the door and doesn't really worry about how they're going to get there. Or, I mean, he does worry about how they get there, and he worries about them once they play on his team. But, he doesn't worry about, how he's going to recruit them or how he's going to bring them in or how he's going to, his worry is, do I have enough kids to be able to play this year? And that's been the worry at St. Thomas the past couple years, too. There was one year where they had like 17, 18 kids on the roster. So the worry was, do we have enough kids to even field a team this year? You can't compare that to Hoban, where, as I said, you're drawing oftentimes the best of the best. There was a story, and I don't know if there's much validity to it, but I'm going to say this anyway. There was a story about 4 years ago, they had a player, and the rumor was that if he had stayed in his school district, he would have played in Alliance. And he ended up going to Hoban, and then he went on to play college ball somewhere. And the thing is, like, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that story, I'd be really rich. I would, because That always happens. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that there's not some public schools that sometimes benefit from kids open enrolling and wanting to go somewhere. That happens. Happens here in Stark County, probably more often than many of you would even know. But it's not the same as a private school offering a kid something to be able to come and play. There's a reason St. V wins every year in basketball. There is. Because Coach Drew Joyce can go through the AAU circuits in the summer. He can see the best kids playing out there, and he can say, hey, how would you like to come play in the same gym that LeBron James played in? Hey, how would you like to play in the same gym that LeBron scored 60 points in one time? Hey, if you come to St. V, you'll get to meet LeBron James. What are you going to say if you are that 16, 17-year-old kid? Compared to, oh, I don't know, a public school that can say, kid, you have a lot of game. You play really, really well. You do. And then pretty much leave the conversation at that. Not really able to say anything else. Because if they say, hey, how would you like to come play in the same gym that Nick Weatherspoon played at? At Canton McKinley. Well, I mean, it becomes different. Because they can't openly recruit kids to get through that door. They can build the program. They can have the mystique. They can have the sense of it. But, you know, I mean, it seems like in sports, the thought has always been, what have you done for me lately? And unfortunately, St. V has done a lot more lately than a lot of other public schools in the area. They just have. Since LeBron went through there, that school has run basketball in this state. So it's different. It has so much of a difference. For example, St. V in basketball right now. Just got a text from Coach Wackerly because he's listening. St. V's best player is a kid that left Hoover. Sincere Harris. Another kid they have left Glen Oak. Happens all the time. This year at Buchtel, I was really, really happy to see that Chris Livingston, their star, went back there because he had gone to Western Reserve Academy last year to play ball. And I was really, really happy to see that he went back and decided to go to a public school again. And I hope he wins a state championship at Buchtel. I don't know that he will, but I hope he does. All right, Don is on line one in Canton. Don, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, what's up?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that public schools don't offer people things to play. There's a certain school that they recruited a coach from another school in the local area because his son was a really good football player. You remember that?
I seem to know what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, and that school's kind of famous for recruiting people, and apparently they offer them something, you know, that draws them in there. And this is a public school that, you know, has done this for, you know, decades, as far as I know.
But the difference is this, and I appreciate what you're saying, Don, and I got to get to a break here, so I appreciate the call. Call in again. I understand what you're saying, and you know, I mean, I think that most people would, how do I say this? Look, there is a thing out there that exists in Stark County, and I'm not saying anything here that no one else would say. There's a thought out there to everyone in Stark County that certain schools in this county recruit. There just is. Certain schools always have their name out for that. Certain coaches always have their name out for that type of thing. And I guess here's what I'd say. Comparatively, how many state championships has Stark County won in the big school divisions since McKinley last won one in 1998? And the answer to that question in football is none. They haven't. They haven't won one since 1998 when McKinley did it last. They've been to it. They've been to it a number of times. They haven't won it. I would ask the same question in basketball. Since 2005 with McKinley, you have Jackson twice. And those were on 2 years where Jackson had career-level teams that they will have once every couple of, you know, cycles around. They will get a team that's that good. Jackson this year, for example, though. They're 23-3 in boys basketball. And I've heard around the street that if they went up and played St. Ed's this year, that pretty much any team that would play St. Ed's this year would get blown off the court. How is that fair? All right, take one last final break. We'll be right back.
It's John Bozica, 10 until noon, Monday through Friday.
Here on 1480 WHBC.
Final segment this morning, John Bozica, WHBC, along with you. Really hope you guys have enjoyed the program today, and I hope that I've gotten you thinking about this a little bit. That was really my goal, is that I wanted you guys to just think about it. I want you guys to take this and, I don't know, maybe the next time you're watching high school sports or you're at a high school sporting event, maybe it prompts you to want to have a conversation. Maybe it prompts you to want to write a letter to the OHSAA. There are a number of ways that you can affect change on this. Maybe you even want to write a letter to your local representative or your local senator. It wouldn't be the first time. Let me put it like this, if you did something like that. It would not be the first time that a local senator or a local U.S. or a local state representative has taken up an issue with sports. It happens all the time. And they gladly take those issues up, and they want to hear them too. They do. Because their kids go to the schools too. I know for a fact, Thomas West's son, he went to McKinley, was going to play for the McKinley Bulldogs this year, upsettingly got hurt before his senior year. But still, he was going to go there. And I know that for a fact. And I know that if I probably talk to Reggie Stolzfus, and if I talk to Scott Olschlager, and if I talk to any of them, that they would probably say that, you know, their kids have gone to those schools as well. That their kids have been part of those school systems as well. So it's not just about wanting the rooting interest of your school. It's about wanting the best for everyone. I think maybe the most interesting study of it recently has been Perry football. They made it down to the state championship back-to-back years. Coach Wakefield came back, second stint at Perry, had some great teams, had Mr. Ohio the 1 year on the football team, and Keyshawn Sims. Dang, what an athlete that kid was. Set every year rushing record in the course of a year. Just was amazing. And they went down there and they lost to LaSalle, a private school, 42-0. 42-0. What did Coach Kukura tell us earlier from Alliance? They were 23-0, playing against St. V in the district final. St. V, they probably had a good team that year. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they were, you know, pretty good. They are always pretty good. But they were down 15 at the half on a team at Alliance that went undefeated. Undefeated. And like I've said, you're not going to make everyone happy. You're not going to correct every issue. But I guess it's my opinion that that team at Alliance that's been together since the time they were in third, fourth, fifth grade, been playing together on the same playground, been coming up in the same system together, they deserve a chance to go to Columbus once in their life. Kids at Glen Oak this year that, again, many of them came up together playing on the girls' basketball team, they deserve the chance to go down there compared to the kids maybe at Hoban that are down there now, and a lot of them were just brought together in the last couple of years. They know each other because of AAU ball, sure, but they didn't grow up together. They didn't. One came from Manchester, one came from Lake, one came from St. V, one came from another school. Can't tell me that they grew up together and they all know each other, because they don't. They didn't play on the same playground together. And I know that's not always going to be the case, but it sure makes the story a little bit sweeter for that community. When you see your kids growing up together, passing the ball back and forth in a field in your community, and then you see them do it on Friday night too, and you see them win a state championship doing it there, opposed to, well, here's three of the kids that did it together, but here's five offensive linemen that we don't know, and here's a quarterback we've never seen before. Kind of changes the way you look at it a little bit, doesn't it? I guess that rests my argument. I guess maybe I'm just a sucker for public schools because I went to